Hello there. This is Eric Sinrod from Duane Morris with my colleague Jonathan Armstrong. We're bringing you your weekly Tech Law 10, where all things information technology and the law intersect. I'm talking to you here from somewhat overcast and about to be very rainy San Francisco. And Jonathan, I understand you're in what we call Milan, but you call it Milan. How are you, Jonathan?
I'm good, thank you. And if it's any comfort, the weather's almost identical here, pouring rain, overcast, a little bit of mist. I'll tell you one thing I've been thinking about, Eric. I've been thinking again about cybercrime quite a lot this week, and I'm interested that over here in Italy, people are concerned about the global menace of cybercrime as well. And I think, coincidentally, you've been thinking about that as well.
Well, you know, I've been thinking about it sort of on a whole nother level. And, you know, you mentioned cybercrime, and I've been considering and concerned about cyber warfare. And the question of the day for me is, are international governments already engaging in cyber warfare by hacking into each other's computer systems? And, Jonathan, according to a recent Reuters article, at a minimum, a war of words is brewing, suggesting that this already is the case. First, it's been reported that by way of a flaw in Adobe software, hackers were able to target government computer systems in your very own Europe. Apparently, the systems were not actually compromised too much, but the specifics of the attack are being shared with NATO member states in an effort to remain ready for potential further attacks. Because this attack was broad, creative, and sophisticated, it's suspected that the attacks may have been launched by a nation state. The targets of this particular attack included government computers in Ireland, Poland, Romania, and the Czech Republic, and other entities in the United States, Belgium, and Ukraine seemingly also were targeted by the malicious software, which has been called Miniduke, M-I-N-I-D-U-K-E. On top of this, Jonathan, China's defense ministry has asserted that two important Chinese military websites were hit by as many as 144,000 hacking attacks per month last year, and they say that almost two-thirds of them supposedly emanated from my very own United States. A U.S. computer security company asserts that a series of hacking attacks that primarily targeted the United States were probably initiated by a Chinese military unit. So we have a war of words going back and forth there, and they're claiming there have been attacks by these countries on one another in cyberspace. So, Jonathan, as you can see, as I said, there is this war of words with respect to potential cyber warfare. Perhaps the lesson is that the playing field for aggressive and defensive actions between nations has changed, and the playing field now also apparently resides in cyberspace. So, what are your thoughts there, Mr. European?
I think you're absolutely right. I mean, the first attack I can remember, I was up in Estonia, and the Estonian government, they went all digital, and the Estonian parliament was paperless and got taken down by, it was alleged, some Russian hackers who were either part of or condoned by the then Russian administration. So I think this nation-on-nation cyber hacking isn't necessarily a new thing. I think the danger that we've got, though, is as we move to onto the so-called Internet of Things, the stakes get higher. I have heard of incidents where, for example, Government A has read documents that Government B has produced, and that's one thing, getting information on negotiating strategies and so on. But it's a different thing entirely, isn't it, to take down a power station. You know, I know that the conspiracy theorists, you had a small sporting event called the Super Bowl, I think, and there was conspiracy theorists saying that it was the Chinese took the floodlights down, you know, presumably because they're not great fans of Beyonce. And I think that just takes it to a different level, doesn't it? If we're going to see more attacks, that attacks on things rather than just emails and engine drawings and you know, pre-patent inventions. Isn't that even more worrying, Eric?
Yes, there's a lot to be worried about. You know, we have the expression, be afraid, be very afraid. This is of concern. I mean, there are, you know, very important systems that, you know, depend on, you know, the proper running of the Internet and computers to make our lives work and to keep us safe. And if they can be compromised, we have a problem, don't you think?
We do, and I think the other thing that we see is collateral damage. I mean, my favorite case, one we can talk about another time, is the Keith Chegwin case in the UK, where a very much a Z-list UK celebrity was attacked by the allegedly by the Chinese hackers because it was assumed that he was working for the CIA. And we do see more and more people, you know, collaterally suffering because their domain names are similar to somebody else's, or just because, you know, state-sponsored terrorism tries to take down components of critical national infrastructure. I mean, one thing I would say from having been involved, unfortunately, in some of these incidents on clients' behalf is, you know, absolutely do not regard a minor attack as a minor attack. The pattern that I'm seeing increasingly is there's an initial attack which might go for an address list or, you know, something relatively trivial to enable the second attack to be more targeted. And I think it's absolutely true that corporations are suffering from these attacks just as governments are as well.
Good point. Well, I think we've reached the limit of our Tech Law 10. Fortunately, our systems are working well enough so we could create this podcast. I know the reception on Jonathan's end is a little bit dim because he's in Milan on business, but hopefully the audience can hear you well because your words are always well taken. So with that being said, this has been your Tech Law 10. I'm Eric Sinrod of Duane Morris, EJ Sinrod at DuaneMorris.com. You can find us on Twitter, LinkedIn, Facebook, everywhere. We're ubiquitous. And Jonathan, why don't you give your coordinates and we can sign off for now.
Yeah, I'm Jonathan Armstrong, JP Armstrong at DuaneMorris.com. All that remains is to say buonasera a tutti, and we'll see you next week.
Okay,
ciao.
Thank you. Bye-bye.